wasn't handed a program when we came in. And I learned by, I guess, some hard knocks that when the Lord puts a burden and says it's time, it's time. And there have been times probably I fell on both sides of that issue, and I don't want to fail this morning to do what the Spirit of the Lord wants. Desire a special interest in your prayers. This is a burden that the Lord had put on my heart for this meeting. It's been on my heart for months. And something that is for all of us, where we are, I look around, and while we may in some respects may be small in number, there are different congregations represented here this morning. I might miss some if I started naming them out. But I have a message to God's people this morning. I took a little drive this morning. I normally do when I'm in Guthrie, kind of the back by the old chapel and the print shop, and brings back a lot of memories. Our first house, 120-year-old house, is right down that road, and it brings back a lot of memories. I have a lot of good memories. When I go by the old chapel and think about the ministers and that have come and gone, the meetings that we had in that place, I am thankful for the wonderful heritage that we have. I'm thankful for the truth that has been passed down to us, godly truth, godly examples that have been left for us. It means a lot this morning. But God's church, historically, the church has gone through a lot of difficulties through time. From the very beginning, when you look at church history, there have been persecutions, there have been tribulations, there has been compromise, people amongst God's church. There have been people that have compromised. There have been people that have gotten fanatic. And you know, fanaticism is compromise because it's short of what the Word of God teaches. And there have been those that have come and gone. And it is important for us this morning that we would, by the Word of God, be willing to look into the mirror and see where we're at today. And it's difficult sometimes to look in the mirror and see a blemish. Say, what do I do? Or see that you're, you know, when you look in the mirror and your hair's not combed, you have responsibility to comb your hair then, don't you? If you got a smudge on your face, then you go get a washcloth and wipe it off. But it's not wise to just get up out of bed in the morning and never look in the mirror or get around and expect everything to be just ship shape. Do you know this morning that as some of God's people, well, we're family here this morning, aren't we? We've come from different places and we're family. And I found something to be true, not only in our family, but in most people's family. You can say something about your own family, kind of, you know, if there's a problem. But when someone else says something, do you know there's something inside that, wait a minute, that's my family. You don't talk bad about my family. But do you realize that even personally or in our families, in the church, in the body of Christ, if we are not willing to acknowledge where there might be some needs, small needs are going to turn into big needs. And historically, in the past, there have been areas of compromise or small areas where the enemy was working among God's people and it was left unchecked, and it ended up in great numbers falling away. And that has happened multiple times in my lifetime, in my ministry. When you look at the number, even amongst those that we fellowship this morning, is it not? Can we not honestly say that the numbers are growing smaller? Do you know that scripturally, the scripture talks about a remnant? That doesn't mean it's our fault. That there's a falling away. There's a time before the Lord comes. Jesus asks, am I going to find faith when I return? But I don't want the responsibility for the small numbers to be my fault. I don't want it to be because I'm lowering what the Lord wants me to be. I want it rather be that that's the condition of the world, but that there is still a city that is set on a hill that people can know there's a group of people that love God. And I am so thankful that there is still a people that we can come together in meetings like this and fellowship in spirit and in truth. In John, in the 16th chapter, I'd like to begin there. In John chapter 16, very familiar passage. Lord bless. 16th chapter of John, we're going to be reading with the 13th verse. It said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come." The scripture here is talking about the Spirit of truth, how the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in all truth. And it has been the Spirit of the Lord that has kept those that had a desire to be faithful. It has been the Spirit of the Lord that has been diligent to show them the way to live. And in our life, folks, all of us, if we would acknowledge, can't we all sometimes get out of balance just a little bit? And the Holy Spirit, in His love, comes along and He rebalances. He recalibrates. He said, yes, this is right, but you're getting a little bit too far over this direction. And the Holy Spirit, in His faithfulness, moves us over in the middle of the road. And then sometimes, by conditions and influences around, we can see some movement over to the other direction. And the Spirit of the Lord comes in and says, now be careful here. Do you know the Lord does that for us individually, but He also does it for us collectively as a people? Well, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be diligent to us in this dispensation of time. You young people, the Holy Spirit, you can trust Him. And with all of those that have forsaken truth, for all of those that have walked away from what is right, there can still be a people that are living like the Lord wants because of the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. And I've shared before, there was a time that it was when the Lord had called me to minister, and I had a little bit of trepidation because I had seen some things, and I said, Lord, I don't want that to happen to me. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, told me so clearly, He said, trust me. Well, 10 years down the road, the Lord came and tapped me on the shoulder. Said, you remember when you had that concern? He said, you be careful right here. You can trust the Holy Spirit. We can trust the Holy Spirit in our congregations to keep us in the place the Lord wants us to be. But it is a reality, saints, and I'm talking to family here now this morning. So please accept that as the foundation of this. There are times that historically that congregations are made up of individuals, can begin to get a little bit too far off, a little to the left or a little to the right, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to come and get us realigned. But we have to be willing then to open up our hearts that we're not in a place that we think we're so spiritual that the Holy Spirit can't reveal and say, Michael, you've got a need here. Or Brother Michael and the congregation, y'all are drifting a little bit too far one direction or the other. So we need to be open to the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Over in the book of Isaiah, in the first chapter, the question was asked about how the faithful city became a harlot. In other words, where the Lord one time blessed His people in Zion, the question was, how did they get so far from God? And their answer was they mixed the wine with water. In other words, what they did is they took the purity of God's truth and they mixed it with their own ideas. They added to and they took away until they were in apostasy and not living for the Lord. Have not most of us seen that happen in our lifetime? Multiple times? Do you know that apostasy does not happen overnight? Apostasy is a deviation from truth. It happens slowly and in increments, and that's why as God's people, as some of His people this morning, we want to be very careful to let the Word of God be our standard of faith. Our rule of faith is not just my opinion and what I think about it, nor is it your opinion, nor is it what a group of ministers have voted on or not voted on. What a group of ministers vote on does not change God's truth. God's truth stands in its own merit, whether we agree with it or not. God's truth is unchanging. And it's why it's important for us in our reality that we accept the Word of God is our creed and our rule of faith. We don't want it apart from it this morning, because this is the place where the Lord will anoint and bless His people. And the Lord is going to come back for a pure church. It's repeated in the Scripture multiple places. In the book of Ephesians, if you will turn with me to the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter, in the 26th verse. He was talking, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Folks, Christ is vested in us this morning. Christ has invested Himself in His people. And everything that the Lord does among us as a people, God has our best interest at heart. There are people that sometimes come in with ulterior motives. Some people come in just to cause trouble. Some people come in just to criticize. But the Spirit of the Lord, through Jesus Christ, is here with our best interest at heart. And that's why Christ died for us. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And then He said that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? Without blemish. That is the church that the Lord wants us to be. This is the reason the Lord died, folks. I think those that get married, brides, I think they're looking in the mirror probably more than one time. Am I wrong there, sisters? They're wanting to be sure that things are right. They don't want things to be out of place. And they're not ashamed to look in the mirror because they want to be as perfect as they can be for that wedding day. Folks, as God's people, that ought to be our desire. When the Word of God comes forward, and I have seen it, and it's been ever since the time of Christ, people got offended at Jesus and walked away. And it still happens today. People don't like the truth, and they walk away. But how much better? As the Scripture says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Because when the Word of God is going forward, and someone says, "Well, I was stepping on my toes." Well, thank God. The Lord wasn't trying to put you on a guilt trip. He was trying to show us ourselves that we could be perfected in Him. Because He wants us to be a bride that is without spot and without blemish. But again, and this is just historical fact, that congregations and fellowships and movements of people have come and gone through the years. From the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, 60 years after Jesus, only 60 years, and we see what the apostasy was already at work. We already see conditions at work among Church of God people. Now, did you get that? Church of God people that were holding the faith, that we're beginning to depart in one way or another from the purity of what Jesus had brought to them. And I wonder what difference would there have been for those that were beginning to deviate if they would have looked at themselves honestly and said, "Lord," and Sister Charlotte prayed in her prayer about "he that hath an ear to hear." And I would encourage us this morning, he that hath an ear. In other words, some people don't want to hear. Some people, if they feel like someone is bringing out a need, there's a defense mode that kicks in. Now, that's my family. But folks, if there's a family problem, let's deal with the family problem so we can have family victory. If there is our needs in our congregations, rather than ignore it, and rather than just think, "Well, we're okay," Lord, help us to be willing to look in the mirror and say, "Lord, we want to hear what You are saying unto the churches." This morning, what is the Lord saying to the churches? Do you know? How long has it been since we have collectively, in our local congregations, or as a body, said, "Lord, show us ourselves"? I've come to the conclusion, thinking about reputation, some reputations are undeserved. Have you ever had something said about you that was just completely inaccurate? It was undeserved. And then other reputations are earned. There's a reputation. Lord, what is our reputation? How do people see us? But more importantly than how do people see us is, Lord, how do you see us this morning? Because, Lord, I don't want to lose my soul, and I don't want to lose as a body. I don't want to lose the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But again, folks, the reality is that there have been many people that one time had the anointing of God in their midst, and they lost the anointing. How did it happen? It didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And that's why it would behoove us still today in this time to say, Lord, help me to open up my ears to the voice of the Spirit. David prayed a prayer, very familiar over in Psalms 139. We'll just read it. Psalms 139, verse 23. It said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Folks, search me. Search my beliefs. Search my life. Do you know that we can have a belief system, but not be living it? We can say this is what the Bible teaches. And you know, a lot of us have been around long enough that we know what the Bible teaches pretty much, and we could tell someone how they ought to live. Lord, search my belief system, but Lord, search my life. Search my attitudes. Search my love. Search who I am. Search, Lord, what makes me who I am, Lord. Would you search me? And if there's anything that is contrary to your love and your spirit and your faith and your long-suffering and your truth, then Lord, would you work on me? Would you reveal that to me? But folks, the Spirit of God, I believe individually and collectively that we can trust Him this morning. You can trust Him. We can trust that God, this Holy Spirit, will lead His people. So it would be good to examine ourselves individually and collectively. And I know it is difficult sometimes. But we need to know and we need to see what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches still today. Now, over in the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, in the 19th verse, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, Christ was speaking here, and he said, write the things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the book of Revelation, to a large extent, is a book of the history of the church. And some people are afraid of Revelation. I want to encourage us, let's not be afraid of Revelation. I've heard multiple people say, well, it doesn't matter. Folks, it matters. The Lord put it in the book. And I say the last chapter of any book is pretty important. The understanding of Revelation, we may not understand all of it. And there are areas that we're praying, Lord, help us to understand more. But there is a fundamental understanding of what the church of God is to be. And we can look and see historically what the church has been through. And if we would learn this morning from the mistakes and the sin of the past, we would be much further along individually and as a people. Well, the Lord, then it said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Now this is speaking about Christ. And the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now I want us to know there has been a lot of false teaching on Revelation. There has been a lot of things, those that teach seven church ages, that we're going to look at some of these churches here in just a moment. There's been teaching that that represents seven church ages. I find no evidence of that when you study it out. These letters were written to specific congregations because the Spirit of the Lord loved them. And I want us to keep in mind that these congregations that we're going to look at, the Lord still held them in his hand. Now, I'm not sure, I don't like when people say, well, let's just be honest, what else would we be? But if we were just to acknowledge this morning, I dare say that probably as a people we would have already disfellowshipped most of these churches. Some of them. The Lord still had them in his hand. Lord, help us today. But the message to many of them was repent. Quickly. Quickly, or I'm going to remove the candlestick. I'm going to remove the anointing. I'm going to remove my fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost that's working. I'm going to remove that. And you know, the Lord did that to many of these congregations. But they went on professing the name of Christ, many of them. They went on with the name on the door, but they had lost their power with God. But Lord, help us this morning that we would understand that the church of God still is today composed of all the blood-washed ones. Do we still believe that? That saying that says we extend our hand in fellowship to who? Every blood-washed one. You know, that's kind of a romantic, neat saying. But in practicality, folks, let's understand that the whole premise and foundation of the Church of God and what this movement was about was the restored truths of the Bible, that the Church of God really is all of the saved. Those that have been saved from their sin. So as we look inwardly, what do we see? I was in a meeting less than a year ago, and someone that didn't grow up like a lot of us grew up. They didn't look exactly like we looked. They got up in a service and had a testimony. Nothing was wrong with their testimony. They testified to being saved. Now you may say, Brother Michael, that doesn't happen, folks. It happens a lot more than what you might realize. They got up and testified. They had no ulterior motives. And after the service, there were people that were so uncomfortable because someone had testified to being saved because they hadn't come through our doors. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. To he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Because if we do we extend our hand or not? Folks, I appreciate so much the warmth and the love that has been extended to so many. And this is not a blanket indictment. But folks, this is happening more than what you might think. Or maybe you know. But Lord, help it not to be us. Lord, help it to be that when people come, that we are more willing to accept their salvation than we are to be suspicious and deny it. That doesn't mean that we open up the pulpit to them. It doesn't mean that we have them be in a position of leadership and teaching. But Lord, help us to open up our hearts. And until something is proved differently, I'm willing to accept a testimony of salvation. That's the foundation, folks, of the Church of God. And I also know that this kind of preaching, and some of you may not understand it, but the ministers will, this kind of preaching makes some people uncomfortable. Right. To he that hath an ear, let him hear. The minister should not feel a pushback when we begin preaching and teaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost what the church is. Because if people get uncomfortable, it means we've already settled down in a place that the Lord is saying, be careful. Be careful, because that's where Babylon comes from. That's what the mark of the beast is, fellowshipping, sectism. In other words, a system of something rather than the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what brings us in unity. It's not because we have the same historical roots. It's not because I knew your grandpa and your grandma. It ought to be because of a common spirit and a common faith and a common love for God. And if we lose that message, folks, we will end up spiritually dead because the Spirit of the Lord will lift his hand off. And we can go along and saying, well, we're Church of God. Folks, Church of God, the name means nothing unless we are truly God's church. Amen? And so the Lord had these candlesticks and these angels in his hands. And those angels represented the pastors. or the ministry in those congregations. Conditions that existed in these seven congregations have repeated themselves in individuals' lives throughout the history of the church. They still exist today. And I know sometimes we can go on either side of this. Sometimes people say, well, these conditions have always existed, so don't worry about it. Folks, these conditions can kill us. Some of these conditions can kill us, but I don't want to be a fear monger. I don't want us to say, well, we have to just be suspicious of everything, but trust in the Holy Spirit. But we need to look in the mirror, and these conditions that existed that we're going to look very briefly at, you could spend a lot of time on each one of these, but those conditions still exist in the religious world. But I'm going to go a step closer. These conditions still exist, many of them, to some degree or another, among some of God's people. I know it's silent. These conditions have existed throughout time, the time of Christ. And so what we need to do then is say, Lord, would you help us to have an ear? And, you know, I look around. What are we? Shawnee, Oklahoma City, Springfield, Guthrie, Juarez, Junction City. Okay, we have Kentucky, Green Bank. I might be missing someone. Enid, all right, don't forget Enid. Neosho, you see, we've come, and there's more probably. I'm missing some more. Webb City, there's different ones from different congregations. As we look into these conditions, what do you think the Lord would say to us if he were to write a letter to our individual congregations? Now, we could say, well, he could write a letter to the Baptists and write a letter to Jehovah's Witnesses, and then he'd write a letter to the Church of God, you know, those that go to Monarch. But we could bring it down a little closer to home. We could say, well, he could write to Church of God people that fellowship, that go to Monarch for their national meeting, and he could write it to this Church of God over in this other Church of God fellowship, and he could write it to this other that have the name. Or we could do what he did here. He was writing to his people. And he wrote to individual congregations because there were some unique conditions in those congregations. Folks, the reality is for us today as well that in our congregations we can have some unique needs. Lord, help us that we would be open to the Holy Spirit to reveal those places that you want us to do better. As a congregation, but the old congregation, it starts with me and it starts with you, doesn't it? That's where it starts. It's not wise this morning, as the scripture says, to compare ourselves among ourselves, is it? That's not wise. It's not wise on multiple levels for us to come together and so we're going to compare Guthrie to Shawnee. Or we're going to compare Neosho with Springfield. That's not what this is about, see? So then, folks, let's be careful about doing that. Let's not do that. But let's measure our lives to the Word of God. Spirit, faith, doctrine, and love. That, Lord, would you show us ourselves? And, you know, you can, those of you that travel, and we live in a global society because we live in a mobile society, but do you know there are still cultural differences even in the United States? You know, you can go to, and even in the way that our services are, to a lesser degree, there are cultural differences. If you go out to the West Coast, or you go down south, or you go to maybe Green Bank, or you go to, we're here at Guthrie. Do you know there are some unique differences among us? And difference is not wrong in and of itself, folks. Where difference is not right is when it's different from what the Word of God teaches. When it gets away, when it violates the principles of holiness and godly living. That's when there's a problem. But it's not wise for one part of the country or one congregation to begin to look around and begin to elevate themselves, thinking that there is a greater spirituality in that congregation, that's called self-righteousness. And there are self-righteous spirits have been at work ever since the time of Christ. The Pharisees were self-righteous. Jesus spoke very strongly against self-righteousness. I have not yet heard someone just come up to me and say, "Brother Michael, I am self-righteous." But I've seen some self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is, and it's not fair, and I'll just, you young people, listen here. Just because you see someone living a holy life and you're not, well, they're self-righteous. No, you're not living like you ought to live. You see, but just because someone is doing what's right doesn't make him self-righteous. Self-righteousness is a fleshly pride. It's a fleshly arrogance in spiritual things. And what happens when there's a spirit of self-righteousness is the result is we become judgmental. Now, the saints should judge the world, but it is a fleshly judgment. And we can begin to look down our nose that I'm just a little bit more, we're more spiritual than they are. And the eyes go up and down when someone walks in the room. Oh, we know where they're from. Be careful of that kind of spirit. Folks, these spirits are still at work. And they exist sometimes right among us. I'm talking about family now, okay? Lord, help us not to have a self-righteous spirit. Lord, help us to measure our life to the Word. Now, over in, we're going to just read through just a little bit. In the seventh verse here, the second chapter, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." What is the Spirit of God saying? "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." The Lord has a promise, folks. Through these second and third chapters, the Lord has a promise to those that are living righteous lives. He has a promise to us that are living godly lives. But I want us to consider the condition of these churches, these congregations. To the church at Ephesus, we read in the fourth verse, "I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." But you know, before the Lord showed them a part of the problem, he gave them some commendation for some things they had done right. He said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Folks, the Lord was commending them. They were holding on to certain areas of truth. But yet, in another area, they had lost something. They had lost their first love. And he said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent." He was talking to a group of people that he was still holding in his hand. And he said, "Repent." Folks, the condition of our love is still so important if we want the Spirit of God to lead us and anoint us and keep us in this generation. So what is the condition of our love this morning? Do you think that the Lord might ever write? What would y'all think if you got home and got a letter to your congregation in the mail from the Spirit? Would you be receptive to it? How's your love? Do you know there are people that have lost their first love? And it just becomes a form. But love brings zeal. It brings purpose. It brings the fire. When there is fervent love. This congregation had lost that. And the Lord said, "Repent, or I'm going to remove the candlestick." Reading on down in the church of Ephesus. Well, in the first of Smyrna. In the second chapter, still in the ninth verse. The Spirit said, "I know thy works, thy tribulation, and thy poverty." And then he said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." And then he exhorted them to be faithful unto death. The Spirit of God did not reveal anything to them that he wanted them to necessarily. He's always working on us, don't misunderstand. But it was a letter commending them for their faith. He said, "I know you're going through some hard times. I know there's some poverty and I know there's some tribulation." Folks, do not measure God's blessings on your life based on the amount of tribulation or the amount of poverty. These people were a needy people, and this congregation had gone through a lot of suffering, and the Lord was in essence saying, well done, keep the faith. I'd like to get that kind of letter from the Spirit. Keep up the good work. Moving on down, church at Pergamos in this 12th verse. He said here, write unto them, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Folks, that sounds real good. Here's a congregation that had not denied the faith. They still held on to the faith. And yet, he went on to say in verse 14, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And he goes on and talks about it. There were some of those that were giving in to some compromising spirits that were lending themselves to fornication and adultery. And there was not a stand against adultery and fornication in the congregation. And he said, I have somewhat against thee. Folks, we can hold on and have a lot of faith and truth in our midst. But if we begin to let down on one principle of truth, that can be the very thing that if we don't repent and ask the Lord to restore that among us, that fervency for truth and abhorrence to evil, the Lord said, I'm going to remove the candlestick. So to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And at the same time, he said, you hadn't denied the faith. In Thyatira, in the 18th verse, he wrote, I know thy works. And this sounds really good. I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now he went on to say here that he was going to bring judgment on them. But do you realize this morning that what he's talking about is the congregation, they had a lot of love. They were doing a lot of good works. And if you were to look on that people, you say they're good people. You know, I've heard people say that even today when there's a need comes up and this defense mechanism kicks in and the response is, well, they're good people. Folks, there's a lot of good people that the Lord has said, I still have somewhat against thee. And here they were, and you young people may wonder, does this really apply to us today? It applies to us today because there are congregations today in this situation where there are the congregation people that love God but are allowing a spiritually disqualified ministry to have leadership in their midst. And so the Lord had something against the congregation. That means the congregation, you have a duty before the Lord to require those that minister to you to be spiritually qualified. And if there are those that are promoting a doctrine that is contrary to the Word and are taking people away from holiness, people say, well, what do? It's our pastor. But when it is a problem, when the congregation is wanting to stand faithful, the question is, where then is our allegiance? Is our allegiance this morning, is it going to be to someone that has ministered to us for many years? Will it be because we have a long history together, we just can't deal with them, but the new preacher on the block we can deal with pretty quickly? You understand what I'm saying? That almost starts to sound political, doesn't it? We'll deal with someone that doesn't have a lot of family ties in the congregation because we don't want to deal with repercussions. But someone that's been around for a long time, we won't deal with that. Where is our allegiance this morning? Allegiance to a political party? Allegiance to what race we're of? Allegiance to a family history? Or is our allegiance to truth? And I believe this is the condition that existed here. You're allowing this woman to teach and preach, and she's leading people away from what's right and what's true. I trust that you get the message this morning. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he spoke to the congregation at Sardis. And he said, I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest. In other words, maybe the reputation, you say you're alive in Christ. But folks, this morning, we're no different. Just because we say we're something doesn't make it so. He told them here, you say you have a name that thou livest, but the reality is that you're dead. There's no life. There's no spirit. There's no anointing. Folks, it's not enough for us to say, well, that's just the way we are. If it's the way we are, then Lord, change me. If, Lord, if I don't have that fervency and that zealousness and that fire where the anointing of God is on my life, then, Lord, change me and wake me up that I can truly be alive. But the condition of the congregation was that they say they were alive, but yet they were dead. This was a very prosperous city. It was a city where there was a lot of wealth, there's a lot of luxury. And they probably just got in this place of being at ease. And the Lord said, you say you're alive, but you're really dead. I would ask us a question this morning. Do you think it's possible for that to happen to us? Is it possible? It is. And if you get uncomfortable with this message, why? Why would we be uncomfortable? Because this has caused the falling away of many, many groups of people through time. And we are no different except we listen to what the Spirit says. And if He reveals a need to us and we see that maybe we're losing some of the fire, I don't want to cover it up and say, well, maybe we don't have as much fire as we ought to, but we're doing a lot of good works for the Lord. Bless God, bless you in your good works, but you still don't have the fire. That's what He said here. And so, in other words, repent, seek the Lord for a revival that we as individuals and as a congregation, that when people step in, they can say, this place is on fire for God. And say, oh, these are people, these are has-beens. They used to have the fire. No, I don't want people to come among us and say, they used to have the fire, or they used to be this. No, Lord, help us to still be on fire with fervent love and praise, doing the good works, doing all these other things the Lord wants us to do. But it is not an excuse in our children if they disobey us. And you correct them and they say, but I did all of the other things. Well, that's good that you did those things, but you didn't do this. And these were things major enough that the Lord knew that if they were not dealt with, they would lose completely out with God. And do you know that who you fellowship with affects you? Affects your belief system. You move to another part of the country after so many years, you might even start talking just a little bit different. You know, I say y'all a whole lot more than I used to. We used to say you guys. I grew up on the West Coast. And I know some say you ones. I'm not going there, I don't think. But do you know that people speak differently? And you grow up in a certain part of the country and you're going to start talking different. Who you fellowship with is going to have an effect on you. Who you listen, minister to you is going to have an effect on you. And that's why the Lord, He's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Because I believe this morning that even today that sometimes we have unique challenges in our individual congregations. And if we're not careful, we can say, well, it's always been that way. Do you know that we all have reputations, right? Now we're going to get uncomfortable. But do you know we really do? If we started listing different places, there would be things that come to your mind, right? Why is that? Because you've had experiences there. Do you know in the congregations, Church of God congregations, it's no different? Some places you may say, oh, things were a little cold. You know, I didn't feel quite the warmth that I do when I go to this place. Or, you know, this, it seems like they're really strong here. And over here, I just, there was kind of some needs. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Or maybe there was more life over here and things were a little bit dead over here. The song service, I just wanted to get up and run. Do you know that there can be areas in all of our lives, in our congregation, that are a little bit different? Again, different is not wrong in and of itself until it violates what the Lord wants of us. But if there are needs in our congregation, are we going to ignore them? Or can we begin to pray and say, Lord, would you help us? We want to have the love. We want to have the faith. We don't want to deviate from the truth, Lord. Thou hast a name that thou livest but are dead. In Philadelphia, it was another commendation. Well done. Folks, that's what the Lord wants. That's the bride He wants us to be. The letter that you get in the mail and say, oh, that's from the Spirit of the Lord. And you open it up and He says, well done. Keep holding on. Don't let down. You're doing well. Just keep moving forward. Folks, that's where we want to be this morning. And I trust that we are. But the reality is that the devil is working in our generation just like he's worked in past generations. And these conditions will help us maybe begin to self-examine to see maybe it's not to this degree, but do we see where the devil can start working in these different things? Because he still is. Then the Laodiceans, they were lukewarm. He said, you're not cold or hot. You're just tepid. He said, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. He said, you're rich. You say you're rich and increased with goods, but you're and knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee, verse 18, to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Folks, here was a group of people and it existed. On one hand, there are those that might have begun it. We have it all. We're fine. Do you know our history? If you didn't break away from Anderson Church of God when we did, then you don't have it. What kind of teaching is that? The Church of God is all the same. So if you came out later and you recognize that there was some apostasy going on and some falling away, I'm just glad you left. And I want you to be in a place where you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, then you have those that say, I don't have need of anything. And these conditions reflect it that we've talked about, a spirit of worldliness. That we keep coming to church, we say this is our belief system, but our lives don't reflect it very much. We start letting down on issues, practical applied holiness. Understand? Holiness is a condition of heart. But if holiness is in our heart, then it affects the fruit that comes out of our life. Are there conditions today that exist where individuals, families, and I'm going to go a step further, in congregations, that there starts to be a drawing away and letting things go with the spirit of it really doesn't matter? And so then we say, well, that congregation is this and that one's that. Folks, it's not about being critical. It's not about comparing or measuring ourselves by ourselves. But folks, these conditions still exist today. Okay? Many of them. Now, maybe not to the degree, but they have existed to that degree. And that's why there are people today that do not fellowship with us that used to fellowship with us. Because it got to the degree that we could not continue on in spirit and in truth together. Do you know that will happen again? Unless we have a continual open heart and say, Lord, what do you have to say to us? Lord, if we begin to lose our love, if we begin to get too worldly, in other words, we're being drawn to the world in our own thinking, and we keep the name, we're not voting on whether to change the name on the sign. But what about our faith? What about how we're living? Do we still have power with God? Do we still have the fervency? Are we still, how are we doing collectively when it comes to worldliness? What about life? How are we doing when we talk about praise? There is more said in the scripture about giving God praise than a lot of other things that some people hold on to for dear life. There's a lot said about giving God praise. How are we doing? Well, if we're not, well, that's just the way we are. But folks, the Spirit came to change the way we are if it's contrary to what the Word teaches. Well, what about, I mentioned self-righteousness in the beginning. Does anybody have a self-righteous spirit? Not me. Lord, help us. Help us to hold the truth in love. Holding judgment in righteousness, but opening up our arms in love to those that maybe aren't living like they ought to. Without, when people come around, there's a group of people, when you get around them, there is an attitude and a spirit that just, it oozes self-righteousness. And I'm not talking about those we fellowship with. Let me make that clear. But it just oozes self-righteousness because there's this air of, we are spiritually superior to you. Do you know, I hope all of us here, I hope all of our congregations are living on a high spiritual plane. Yeah. But we're still taught to live in humility.
That's
right. We're still taught to be warm and friendly and loving. That those that are not living like they ought to, yes, there is a judgment that they feel when they're around godliness. But how we relate to them is not one of looking down our nose, but it's one that we love you and there's a good way in serving the Lord. Do you know that's what the Lord wants? So we have these two extremes, the self-righteousness and this, again, the spirit of judgment. And it's, Brother Mark, was it you that mentioned that, or Brother Carl, about church policemen? Who gave you a badge? Who gave me a badge? No, it's the Spirit's job. Our job is to live the life. It's to teach it, it's to preach it, it's to live it, it's to be it. But we're not the Holy Spirit. It's our job to show the world through the right faith and the right spirit that God is still alive and there's still a body of people. And I say this morning again, I am so thankful for the Church of God. I am so thankful for the love. I'm thankful for the desire that I see for people to it's not all about things that are necessarily what you say, that's a big thing. But it is a big thing when you take time out of your day to go visit someone and minister to someone and show them love. That's what living for God's about, folks. It's not about the big things. It's about the daily sacrifices. And it does my heart good. Come to meeting and I hear about this one was over visiting this person. And this one has this ministry over here. And maybe you don't hear about it very much. That's the work of God. So keep it up. Keep doing it. If there are areas in our life, maybe we're doing those things or maybe we're not. And the Spirit comes in and says, I want you to pick up here. I want you to pick up on this. I want you to grow. And again, I'm going to mention compromised leadership, folks. It exists. And congregations get in a very difficult place when it exists. But we must recognize that where there is a ministry that is falling away, and we give them liberty to continue to minister, the Lord, the Spirit of God was talking to the congregation then. He was bringing some judgment on the congregation. So we all are integrally affected by the individual choices that we make. We are collectively affected by those things. Exclusive or inclusive as a body. Remember what the Church of God is. We are exclusive of Babylon, exclusive of false doctrine, but we are inclusive of every blood-washed one. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. And then he concluded, and we will this morning, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And then in verse 22, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We could have, and it would not be beneficial, but we could have a group discussion and we could go through and we could start dissecting our congregations. Couldn't we? What's the condition? What's condition in Green Bank? Say, well, I'm not that way. But collectively, what's the condition? And I'm not picking on, well, I guess I am, Brother Marty. But we could say, what's the condition there? What's the condition in Springfield? What's going on? What are the conditions in that congregation? What are the conditions at Guthrie? What are the conditions in your congregation? Worldliness? Are you getting a reputation for being a little worldly? Why is that? Is it unjust or are you earning it? Are you getting a reputation of being dead? You have a name that you live, but is there life there? People have to come in and poke and prod to see if there's any movement. Do you see where it takes a lot of honesty to look at our own self and say, Lord, I don't want to close myself off to the Spirit of the Lord, but I will say as we begin, we can trust the Holy Spirit. All of us can make it in victory to the judgment with God's anointing and fire on this fellowship, in our congregations, in our families, but we're going to have to keep an ear and listen to what the Spirit of God says, and He'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. May the Lord bless you.